welcome to episode 6 of the Tremors Cast. I'm Jonathan Melville, author of the upcoming book Seeking Perfection, The Unofficial Guide to Tremors, which I'm writing to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Universal's 1990 film. The first Tremors film was released in US cinemas on the 19th of January 1990, and as we record this, it's the 20th of January 2015, just one day after the official 25th anniversary. Yesterday, I published a blog post on tremorsguide.com that features some memories from fans around the globe and when they first saw Tremors, and today I'll be publishing this podcast featuring some audio from my recent interview with the film's director, Ron Underwood. Regarding progress on the book, I've written a post on the blog explaining that my original December 2014 publication date has moved due to a few factors, mainly the fact that Tremors 5 has now been given an October 2015 release date. When I started the book, there was no Tremors 5, but now it exists. It makes sense to try and include as much about it as possible in the book. I'll have more news and a definite publication date in the next few months, so please keep an eye on Twitter and Facebook and the blog for details. Now, here's some of my interview with Tremors director Ron Underwood. Underwood had been a friend and colleague of writers S.S. Wilson and Brent Maddock for a number of years before they collaborated on developing the script that would become Tremors. Our original interview took in all aspects of pre-production, casting, filming, editing and reception of Tremors, and it's all in the book. But for this podcast, I've decided just to include a few moments off that interview. And firstly, I spoke to Ron about casting the film and how the likes of Kevin Bacon, Fred Ward, Michael Gross and Reba McEntire came to the film.
When I met with Kevin, he was just great. He was very supportive. He totally got the tone of the film. And I really felt immediately like we made the right choice for with Kevin. And Fred Ward, I've just been such a fan of his work. When he said yes, it was like perfect. But I didn't know how perfect it would be until we got the two of them, you know, on set together. Mm-hmm. And started rehearsing and stuff. It was great. Michael Gross, I really had my doubts about, because I only knew him really from Family Ties. And it was such a different kind of character.
Very different.
He came in to read for the part, and I just remember, I think it was in my office, and I remember him jumping up on the desk and and making me believe that there were going to be monsters coming out of the floor of my office very shortly. And I just thought, this guy is amazing. That level of commitment he was willing to make. And Reba also was another one that I was very skeptical of, because since it was my first feature, I wanted, you know, actors who I really knew would deliver. And Reba had never acted except in her videos before that. And so, music videos. But she was such a huge MCA, the corporate company of Universal, big star for them, you know, being this huge country singer. Mm-hmm. So she wanted to get into movies, and so she flew herself out from Nashville to read. And once again, like with Michael, I was just blown away with the personality that she came out with. I think it was a lot of herself and a lot of who she really is. And she just had a great attitude, character-wise. And she had grown up with you know, guns, and she wasn't afraid of that kind of world and life. And she responded well to the character. So it became clear that she would be a real asset to the film.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy we had her. She and Michael were a great couple.
Oh, absolutely. It's a shame she couldn't come back for any of the sequels.
Yeah.
And I mean, the whole cast, of course, it's just a lovely little cast, small cast, but they just feel so so genuine, like it's a small town. It's just so well put together.
Yeah, we did have a wonderful group of actors, and they were all totally committed, totally. We were in this tiny little cowboy town for shooting, and we would get together every night and watch dailies. All the cast was invited as well. We would have, drink beer and watch dailies together. And so there was a real communal feeling that developed, and it really helps a movie to have that kind of environment, to watch dailies together, to see what's been done, where things are going, and it's something that often is not done these days because of the digital way of shooting, and dailies have become a thing of the past for a lot of films.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's just something that really brings people together, and both cast and crew, and it's part of the filmmaking experience that really helps the process.
I also spoke to Ron about Tremors' release in 1990 and Universal's decision to sell it more as a traditional horror film than the comedy horror that it was.
It was unfortunate that, the studio wanted to get the core horror audience, because with the core horror audience, they could make money on the film. But this film was not a film like the films being made for the core horror audience at that time, like Friday Night. What was that? Friday Night series.
Friday the 13th and
Friday the 13th,
Nightmare on Elm Street and things.
Nightmare on Elm Street. All those films, which were the horror films at the time, were much darker, much harder, much less comedy. And this was such a quirky film. So they wanted that audience, but the audience for those films really didn't want this film necessarily. So I think, it was unfortunate, but because the film at the time it was released was accepted very positively by Hollywood and the film critics, like Time Magazine, was so helpful to the film and to the legacy of the film by calling it he said something about it being a classic, before, as it was being released. So, that was really helpful, despite the fact that it didn't do all that well. And at that time, fortunately, home video was something that could keep a film alive in a way that years before that wasn't possible. So we had this big audience that came to the film later, after the film was initially released. So we were very lucky that it hung in there.
So what's it? What response do you get now to Tremors? Do people say all the time, "I love that film"? And
people are very positive about it. I'm happy that people still like it. People still watch it. I get hear from people all the time who are introducing their kids to it, because they want them to have the experience that they had, when they were young or whatever. Yeah. So I'm really happy about that. It's kind of weird that it's lived on so long, and But I just feel lucky that it's still hanging in there.
Thanks to Ron Underwood for taking the time to speak to me. More from that interview will be in the finished book, Seeking Perfection, The Unofficial Guide to Tremors. I'll have more news and previews in the run-up to publication over on the blog at tremorsguide.com, on Twitter at tremorsguide, and on Facebook at facebook.com/tremorsguide. Feel free to get in touch at any time and ask any questions via email at tremorsguide@gmail.com. So that's tremorsguide@gmail.com. Finally, thanks to Emilia Rivera Allegra for supplying the music for the podcast. You can find more about her in the show notes for this podcast. Until next time, keep watching the ground.